Well, if I do hit a home run this morning, it will be stricken from the record books because I will have been tested positive for steroids. So it doesn't make no difference what I do this morning. It won't go in the record books. I guess it's good to be alive. What I get for preaching on Job? Oh, no. Well, I shouldn't have said that, should I? I'm in the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. And pray that when we read our text, leave it open because I'm going to go to a couple more places to begin my sermon. But I'm in the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sworn that the Midianite, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came unto Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The Midianites had enslaved Israel now for 7 years. And we're talking about 7 years of misery. They had everything taken from them. Because of their sins and their idolatry, and they had done evil in the sight of the Lord, God brought these enemies and this hard times upon their lives. And their lives had been prevailed greatly by these Midianites. They destroyed their homes. They destroyed their lives, their crops. And now the people are living in fear. They're living in caves. They're living in dens. He uses the word impoverished, which means they had been deprived of their life. They had no joy. They had no reason for living. Their lives were unbearable. They didn't have no days of peace at all. And they were living in extremely cruel and hard times. And so the children did what most people do when living becomes just unbearable. When you've lived under it so long and you've lived under it so hard and it's just got so bad day after day after day, finally you're just crushed beneath the load. And the children of Israel do what so many do. They begin to cry unto the Lord. John Trapp, the old divine, said, if man can find a praying heart, God will find a pitying heart. And so here they are in all their misery, and they begin to cry unto God. And in verse number 11, there came an angel of the Lord. Did their crying unto God help? Oh, it brought the angel of God down from heaven. And the angel came, and the Bible said he sat under an oak, sat under that oak tree which was in Orpha. So here they are in all their misery. Here they are in all their difficulty. And they bow, as many do, and cry, and God sends an angel down from heaven. And the Bible shows that angel coming and sitting under this oak tree. Now, all of a sudden, in all of their difficulties, deliverance is now sitting under an oak tree. That angel represented deliverance. They were the opportunity now to be delivered from all their difficulty, now sat under that oak tree. Salvation now sat under an oak tree. They could be saved from all their difficulty, and there it sat under an oak tree. Their freedom that they had been praying for now sits under an oak tree. The mercy that they have been pleading for is now sitting under an oak tree. The peace that they have wanted day after day for their life now is sitting under an oak tree. The victory that they needed in their life is now sitting under an oak tree. Heaven had come down. Now heaven is under that oak tree. And if the theologians and all the commentaries are right, the way that that Lord is spelt, then that angel that come down from heaven to sit under that oak tree is Jesus Himself. That's the Lord coming down to hear the answer to their prayers. So here's the troubles that they're all in. And they've cried, and the Lord has now came, and He's now sitting under this oak tree. And He said, did it do any good? Well, look in chapter 8 and verse 28. That angel has come down, and there he sits. What benefits, what good can come from that? Judges 8:28. Thus was Midian subdued. All that was causing their problems and taking their homes and food and peace and joy and life away, it is subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness for 40 years. What came from that angel under that oak tree? 40 years of peace. 40 years that they could get their homes back together. 40 years they could have happiness. You think that tree might become a memorial? You think that tree might become something special to them people knowing what was sitting under that tree? I bet those people would come by time after time during those 40 years. I bet they'd come back to that tree and they'd look at that tree and they'd say, boy, that's where it all began right there. That's where all our happiness started. I bet they started putting their families in wagons and hooking them up to the mules and calling them Holy Land tours. Well, I can just see them coming across the vales and the mountains. And they say, where are we going, Dad? Oh, we're going down there where that tree was. You didn't know me before that angel come under that tree. You don't remember what life was like until that angel came and sat under that tree. You don't remember what we were going through until that angel sat under that oak tree. Boy, that the people begin to talk and sing, and songs were made about that tree, and sermons were preached about that tree. They begin to write books about that tree. And that tree became a memorial because they did not want to forget what God had done under that tree. If you was to go today to North Texas and stand in front of the Parish Baptist Church in Parish, Texas. Parish, Texas is a little town just south of the Oklahoma line. If you was to go there today, there is standing in front of that church a historical marker. It's a memorial that was placed there because Texas and those people, the Texas Christians and the people of that church, they didn't want to forget what had happened at that church one day. For you see, that historical marker is paying honor to an old Baptist preacher by the name of R.C. Buckner. He was the preacher that built the Buckner's Orphans Home in Dallas, Texas. A home that began to take Texas orphans and children that had no moms and dads and lives were destroyed. And that he wanted to build an orphanage that would reach out and take those poor children. And that home has been there now for 130-something years. Still there today with over 1,000 children. I was digging in an old bookstore in Pearland, Texas. And looking up on he had a section called the Texas History section. And I'm looking up there and there's a green book. And on the outside of that book had the words Buckner that were fading off that green cover. And I reached up there and I pulled that green book off that shelf. And it is the life and times of R.C. Buckner. A 1914 first edition copy of the life of this Baptist preacher. And the story begins to unfold. In 1874, Buckner was pastor in this Parish Baptist Church in Parish, Texas. And he began to get a burden and a vision for an orphan's home. He began to think it all out, and he began to see it through the eye of faith. And years before he ever bought the land, and years before it ever become a reality, he began to see the farms. And he began to see the lands and the buildings. He began to see the matrons that would care for the children. And then he said he began to see swarms of just happy children. Then he began to commune with God about the burden and the vision that he was having. He spent 4 years talking to God about it every day. And the burden would get heavier and heavier. Then he began to commune with his own spirit. 4 years. He looked at the times, and the times in which he wanted to be were most unfavorable. They were not propitious. The people of Texas and the South were still weeping over sons and fathers that had died in the Civil War, and a lot of homes had no young men and no fathers. The property was gone, and poverty abounded all over the state of Texas. Texas was thinly populated back then. Dallas was just a frontier village. And just to the west of it, in Parker County and Archer County, they said the Indians still had a lot of villages, and they were still very uncivilized and savage and wild. The Baptists were very feeble folk and divided. And they were poor. And every Baptist interest was paralyzed for support. But Buckner couldn't get away from his burden. And Buckner couldn't get away from his vision. So he began to travel from meeting house to meeting house in Texas. And he would stand before those people and he would preach about what God would want him to do. And they said he would always stand and look down and he would say, "Suppose, brother, that those were your children and you were dead. And they had no mom and they had no dad." And he would plead. They was holding a meeting on July the 17th in 1877. They began to name in the book the various people that were there. Rice Maxey was the father of a U.S. senator. He was there at the church that day. A great preacher by the name of J.R. Rogers and J.W. Conley. Probably one of the greatest Baptist preachers that was ever in Texas Baptist history was B.H. Carroll, and B.H. Carroll would establish and found the great college of Baylor that's still there today, that would raise up young men and train them and send them all over the state of Texas to preach. And in that service was 100 Baptist deacons and preachers that were there. And they all lifted their hands and voted A to the burden and to the vision that Buckner had told them about. 1 o'clock that afternoon, Buckner walked out, and the book says he walked out in front of that church where that marker is today. And he sat under an oak tree. Said he sat down under that oak tree, and he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a dollar bill. And he laid it on his bended knee. And he looked up, and those Baptist men had gathered around him, and he said, "Men," he said, "I start this thing today," and he said, "Here's my dollar." B.H. Carroll reached down into his pocket and pulled out a silver dollar, and he said, "Amen, brother," and he handed that dollar. And 27 Baptist preachers all stopped and took out a dollar and gave it to Buckner. And with that $27, he would go to Dallas, Texas, and eventually buy land and build a home that would start that college, that start that orphan's home. But what happened that day under that oak tree was going to affect the lives of thousands of children for well over 100 years. Boys that would have no hope. Girls that had no homes. Boys and girls that had no moms and no dads, children without happiness, to those children of that day and into the future, that was deliverance, it said under that oak tree. Those orphans now were fixing to be delivered from the hunger and the homelessness that they had to endure day after day after day in the wilderness of the state of Texas. It was salvation that sat under that oak tree that day. Salvation that would save those children from poverty and from hopelessness. Freedom sat under that oak tree. Children were now going to be freed from a life of begging and pleading and going day to day without nothing. Mercy sat under that oak tree, for children now would have somebody that would care for them and somebody that would love them. Peace sat under that oak tree. Children would now have a place to lay their head at night, a place of peace, and they knew that they would have a home. Can I say heaven sat under that oak tree? Because to that orphan boy, that orphan's home would be a heaven compared to the places that they were having to live. What happened under that oak tree on that day in 1877 was going to have a personal effect upon my life 101 years later. The book begins to tell all kinds of incredible stories about this preacher. They said that Buckner, the stories are just too many to tell, but they said that on a muddy street in 1878, he was standing out in front of the St. George Hotel in downtown Dallas, Texas. And boy, it was stormy and raining. And as he stood there, a two-horse wagon stopped, and somebody pushed a poorly clad woman out into the mud. And everybody just stood there. But Buckner stepped out into that muddy street, and he picked up that sobbing woman. And he asked her where she dwelt, and she said, I live in the Cedars outside of town. And Buckner walked through the mud and the rain and that slimy street and walked outside. He said he walked over a mile to go out there and found her poor family huddled among a cedar thicket. And he went out and took her, and he saved that family and brought her to that home. And the stories go on and on, but the great hurricane that come across Galveston shores on September the 8th, 1901, and it destroyed the island of Galveston and killed over 6,000 people. And the city was destroyed and homes were destroyed. Well, when Buckner heard about all the devastation in Galveston, he got buckboards and wagons and horses, and he rushed down to Galveston, and he got 700 orphan children and put them in those wagons and carried them from Galveston all the way back to Dallas so that they could have a home. He said he found a young boy named Victor Robinson just walking dazedly through the slimy, muddy, stormy streets, And Buckner asked him, he said, "Where's your mom and dad?" He said, "The waters come through so hard," and he said, "it washed our home away and it drowned my mother and father." And Buckner asked him, he said, "Well, how did you survive?" He said, "I just grabbed hold of a raft and prayed." And Buckner said, from then on, he said, for years he preached a message. He said, every time the storms come, he said, just grab hold of a raft and pray. B.H. Carroll, and that great Texas preacher, and the boy has another sermon in him all by itself, but him and Buckner would preach in camp meetings and meetings all over the state of Texas, and B.H. Carroll always loved to introduce him, and when he would stand up to introduce R.C. Buckner before he preached, he would always introduce him. He said, "This is the best man that ever lived in the state of Texas." And all those stories are great, and the stories are endless. But there's one story that means a lot to me. For you see, in Cumbie, Texas, on July the 3rd, 1913, my daddy was born. A couple of years ago, my wife and I was up in Hopkins County, 80 miles east of Dallas, and I, for the first time, I got to walk down through those little sidewalks in that old 175-year-old town, and I walked down through that, and I was just trying to imagine my little daddy as a boy playing in them streets and on that sidewalk. Walked through the graveyards and looked at all them old tombs at the people that are buried there. My daddy was 5 years old in 1918 when his mama died of consumption. His daddy ended up, my granddad I never met, ended up breaking his back and become crippled. And there that little family was of my dad and four sisters and a brother. Nobody to take care of them, no home, had nothing going for them. Hurting. And when my dad had lost everything, and he was hurting from losing a mom so young, hurting from not having a dad to come home in the evenings and take care of him. And when my father needed help more than he'd ever needed it at any time in his life, my father needed a home. And my father needed a helping hand. The Lord. The Lord looked down with pity and sent help to my dad. And it was that man that had sat under that oak tree in front of that Paris Baptist church and laid a dollar on his knee. He took my dad and he raised him. And he cared for him and he fed him and he loved him. Clothing. He raised him in church and preached to him about Jesus when my dad was just a boy. My aunt said my dad grew up in church, said he loved to sing in the choir, and he said, and my Aunt B would say, and she'd giggle, she said, and he loved to make the girls laugh. And when my dad was just a boy, old R.C. Buckner would take them Baptist preacher hands and lay them upon my daddy and prayed for him and his children that he would have one day, yet unseen. My dad would end up leaving that orphan's home in 1933. Life was not kind to my dad. My dad did not have a smooth sailing through the sea of life. If you think losing a mom and a dad is hard enough, and being raised in an orphan's home with hundreds and hundreds of children is hard enough, my dad was there at Pearl Harbor on that December 7th, 1941, when that attack came, and Dad was just 26 years old when he watched friends and the ship that he had been on for years, and everything in his life was suddenly under attack, and he was in the middle of a surprise attack and war and his friends dying and all the fighting. I've walked across Pearl Harbor and that sacred ground. And if you ever go out to Pearl Harbor Memorial and you look at that wall that's outstretched over that Arizona, there's 1,177 men that are still buried in Pearl Harbor Bay. And if you look at that last name down on that wall, it says it's Bill Woodard. And Bill Woodard and my dad were friends on that ship together. And somehow my dad survived that awful day of dying and bloodshed. How did he survive? Hands of that old man under that oak tree. Divorce would come into my dad's life. He'd lose his wife and his two boys. And the pain my daddy told me that he went through when he lost his family, he said, I went back on board that ship and sailed for 18 months. And he said, I would stand on the edge of that ship and look at that ocean water. And he said, I just wanted to jump off and die. But somehow my daddy survived all that divorce and the grief of losing his family and his wife and his children. How did he survive? The hands of that old preacher's under that oak tree. The hardships would be too much for Dad, and he became a drunk, and he fought that drunkenness, ended up putting himself in a naval hospital down in Corpus Christi in South Texas, and somehow Dad worked his way through that hospital and got off that liquor. See, how did he beat that drunkenness? The hands of that old preacher underneath that oak tree. He dropped his boys off on July the 8th, 1956, on the front steps of an orphan's home and had to drive off and leave them. And I can only imagine the grief that he must have felt as he looked back in that rearview mirror as he made that turn, that S-turn, driving through the woods away from that home. Because I can still remember standing there. It's been over 50 years now, but I can still remember the taillights breaking as that car turned out of sight. And I can only imagine the grief that a father or a mother must go through when they lose their kids. You say, how did he survive that? The hands of that old man under that oak tree. But somehow, 20 years later, when that boy, he dropped off on that orphan's home steps, and he got out wandering around in this old world, and I was trying to find my way, I ended up walking in the back door of the Langwood Baptist Church on the first Sunday of June, 1976, 20 years after he dropped me off on the front steps of that orphan's home. And I walked down the aisle of that church and walked down and bowed upon my knee and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I got saved and my life changed and the difficulties began to subside and the impoverished and all the problems begin to be easier to handle. And it all goes back to that July of 1877 when that old man sat under that oak tree. And I ended up getting saved because the hands of that old man, that old preacher under that oak tree that laid upon my dad and prayed for him and his children almost 100 years ago. But let me tell you about another tree. Let me tell you about another man that didn't sit under an oak tree but laid on an old tree. The Bible said, God our Father raised up Jesus, whom you slew, and you hanged on a tree, and he bore our sins in his own body on a tree. And the Midianites of sin and suffering that come into our life, boy, they have brought misery in our homes. They've destroyed happiness. They've made living sorrowful. They've brought sadness. Because man has just done evil in the sight of God. But the Lord, in all of our sin and all of our sorrow and all of our suffering, the Lord has sent help. For you see, that Lord came, that angel from heaven came and just didn't sit under that oak tree, but he got on that tree. And what happened that day would affect the lives of millions of people throughout, not the history of the world, but throughout all eternity. For you see, deliverance was on that tree. Now you and I can be delivered. We can be delivered from the sins that torment our life. We can be delivered from Satan who blinds us and hinders us. Salvation was on that old tree that day, for it brought salvation that not only saved me from the problems of my day, but it has saved me throughout all eternity. Freedom was now on that tree, for I am now free to love God. I'm now free to know God. I am now free to serve God. Mercy was on that tree. For I have been forgiven. We've been forgiven for the things we've done. Peace was on that tree. And now for the first time in our life, you and I can enjoy life. because of that oak tree. And for all that, I want to introduce you to the best man in the state of Texas. I want to introduce you to the best man in the United States of America. I want to introduce you to the best man in the country of Canada. I want to introduce you to the best man in the whole wide world. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ because He's the best man that ever lived. He'll love you when nobody else will ever love you. He'll pick you up when you fall 7 times. He'll feed you when you're hungry. He'll put a smile on your face when everything in the world is against you. He's got a church. Buckner built an orphan's home that still stands. 130 years later, the girl that used to cut my hair was raised just a few years ago. The barber that I used, she was raised in that Buckner's orphan's home. And that orphan's home is still rescuing, and it is still saving, and is still helping children. All because a man sat under that tree. But Jesus didn't just build an orphan's home. Jesus built a church. What happened on that tree? He built a church, and that church, it's lasted more than 130 years. It's been around 2,000 years. And it is still rescuing people. It is still saving homes. It is still helping sinners. It's still caring for the homeless. Still helping the sinful. Still picking up the fallen. Why, the stories are too many to tell, but he knelt down in the dirt to pick up a fallen woman one time. He went down to a pool where men laid helpless and could do nothing for themselves, and he was able to pick them up and give them help. He went out of his way and went down to a well with a woman whose life had been wrecked with 5 divorces and living with a man. He helped a woman win back a wayward daughter. He helped a father get back a prodigal son. He's not only done all that, but look what he's done for you and I. Look at our lives. Look at our homes. Look at our joy. Look at what he's done for us. But you see, that old tree, that old cross, it's a memorial. Because we don't ever want to forget what happened there. People still visit that tree. We came in here this morning to sing about it. We started off with a tree. We're going to end up with a tree. No more Job today. Fathers still love to start their days by telling children about what happened on that tree. I still love telling my children, you didn't know me before I went to that tree. When my father was facing that painful divorce with my mother, and he was wanting to die and jump off that ship, what my dad ended up doing, he sat down and wrote a letter to a man by the name of Bill Robbins. And Bill Robbins was a boy that grew up in that Butler's orphan's home with my dad. He was a friend of my dad. He wrote a letter to him, and Bill Robbins was associate pastor and music director of the First Baptist Church in Bay City, Texas. My dad wrote him a letter, and Bill Robbins wrote him a letter back in November 1951. I have that letter today that I found in my dad's house after Dad died. I wish I had the letter to read the whole letter to you, but he starts off by saying, Dan, he said, I'm sorry that life hasn't turned out the way you want it. He said, I'm sorry that your life has turned out bad. He said, but there's one who can help you. He said, there's one that can help your troubles. He said, there's one that can still make you happy. And the letter begins to tell him all about that man on that tree. And when he gets down to the bottom of that letter, he signs it. He said, I trust you do the things that I have written in this letter. And so this morning, with all the difficulties we face in life, I trust that we do the things that are written in this letter. And that we can still, to this day, with our lives, still come to that old tree, bow before it, and never forget what God did there for us. Would you bow your heads while the piano player comes? I wonder if she plays, if you would just like to say, Lord, I want to thank you today for everything you've done for me. I want to thank you for that old rugged cross. I want to thank you that all I have today, I got there the day that I came. My happiness, my peace, my joy, my life. And if you're having any kind of troubles this morning in your life, can I tell you, if you come to that old tree, deliverance is at that tree. Peace is at that tree. Mercy is still found at that tree. You'll find everything you need at the foot of that old cross where Jesus died. It's still the hope of mankind. We still go back to it. I go back here often just to remember not what He did 2,000 years ago, but what He did to me 34 years ago. What it saved me from. What that old cross has given me. So I can say thank you, Lord, this morning for that old rugged cross. Bring your burdens to Calvary. Bring your dreams, your hopes, your fears, your life. He done it all there. He was crucified for us. And we should never forget that.
Father, we would like to praise you, Lord, this morning. Lord, your word says, in you we live and move and have our being. And Father, were not you to give us breath, we would not be here this morning. And we thank you for that. And Father, we rejoice in your goodness to us. We thank you so much for helping Brother Metters feel better. And God, thank you for hearing from heaven. Lord, thank you for helping him be able to stand and preach your word. And Father, we thank you for all that you brought him through, and for the orphan home and his dad. And Lord, he has a story. And Lord, each of us do too. And Father, we praise you that you care and are concerned about us and in where we're at in our lives and in our story. And Father, we thank you that the most important story is the one of your Son. And as Brother Metters preached, and Father, we praise you for the man on that cross. And Father, we thank you for such love. And Lord, help us to love you like you loved us. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, your faithfulness, your care, day in and day out. And Lord, we just ask that you would please help us to look to you, to love you and praise you. And God, I would ask that you would direct our thoughts toward yourself and lead us through your homeward ways. And we ask, Father, your leading, your direction, your blessing in the service tonight. Your hand upon Pastor, Miss Jan, and Miss Christine as they travel. Lord, we ask that you be glorified and magnified and lifted up in these things. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.